Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly awful, or did it change history? Good evening, and welcome back, finally, to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they've watched together long ago. We give each movie a score from memory and then re-watch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remembered. And then we score the movie again. With me as ever is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, yeah.
It's been a while since we did this. It was last year.
It was, yeah. Wow.
Which was not that long ago. It's just the way that New Year works. But I'm sure since it's now a brand new year, you have many things to share with our listeners out there. So why don't you fire away with all of your anecdotes of the week?
So it hit 2025, and since then, nothing of note has actually happened.
Nope. Welcome to 2025. I think that's quite reassuring, though.
Well, I should say nothing to note in my life has happened, because there's been a few things around the world.
Yeah. But, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know that I'm on the 2025, on my 2025 bingo card, I've got alien UFO disclosure, right?
You do, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for that to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
So it's going to age really badly when we do this in 2026 and nothing happened.
Yeah, no, that's when
that
the aliens
we know
are
of.
Here. That's when the aliens will be here. So in 20, we'll come back in a year's time and I can go, no, I told you so. Yeah.
Do you think the aliens are like the podcast?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. They don't really like movies.
Well, probably because we make them the villain, right?
Absolutely. Why would you do that? Yeah. So anyway, that was a good anecdote. I want to go straight to an email that we've had from Colin in Newquay in Cornwall.
Okay.
I love the name Colin, by the way.
Colin, yeah.
It's probably not a name that I would use, but that is a good solid name, isn't it?
Yeah, no offense, Colin, but
yeah, no offense,
name.
Colin. Good name. Colin has emailed and he's got two questions for us. Question number one is, where are you? He went to download an episode and it wasn't there. And he said, where are you? Which I thought was a good question. Somebody out there missed us. Thanks, Colin, in Newquay in Cornwall.
I haven't really left the house. I've just been here the whole time, Colin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyway, moving on from the exciting life of Sam. And then Colin asked another question, and the question he says is that in anticipation of our Wallace and Gromit episode, okay, which is coming up, which I should have mentioned. But his question is very straightforward. He was excited to see the return of Feathers McGraw, and spoiler alert. He asks, if we could bring back any movie villain, who would it be? Good question.
Feathers McGraw.
Yeah, Feathers McGraw. Okay, moving on. But no, we can't. Good question, eh?
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the big ones have come back anyway, right. In some sort of form.
Darth Vader came back, right?
Yeah.
More than once.
I know he has already come back, but I can't get enough of Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. So any sort of version of him as Willem Dafoe, I can go with.
Okay, Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. I didn't really know where to. I'm going to go with something really weird. Are you ready for my weird answer to this?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a bit, I think it's in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay.
And he's on a bridge. Okay. And there's a guy gets out a big sword, swings the sword around, and Indy just pulls out a gun and shoots him. Is that Raiders or is that Temple of Doom?
It's Raiders and it's not on a bridge.
Okay, but do they not repeat the joke on a bridge in Temple
of Doom?
They might
actually.
Yeah, okay, so there's... Yeah. So this poor guy gets shot and is killed, okay? He was just swinging a sword around. He didn't know that was the end of his life. He didn't know that was his last day on Earth. So I would bring him back just to say, you're not going to win, run away.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an unnecessary death.
I know, but it's clever and it works. I like it.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke. Yeah, hey, do you know what? Talking of unnecessary deaths, do you know what is the most unnecessary death in a movie?
Tony Stark, because he came back as a different character, Robert Downey Jr.
That's definitely one of them. I think that the most unnecessary death in the movies, you know that bit in one of the Jurassic Park movies where for some reason they kill the poor nanny in the most horrific way you can think of?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
She doesn't deserve that, does she?
No, the director had something personal with her.
Absolutely. Yeah, just why would you do that? It just seemed really unfair. She was kind of a nice character as well. She wasn't doing anything wrong.
I think she neglected the kids, but sure.
Yeah, well, did she though? Anyway, well, let's not get bogged down in that.
Okay.
So in a change from our usual programming, instead of watching a movie that we'd watched already, we decided that we would give a score to what we expected of the new Wallace and Gromit movie. And then we would watch the Wallace and Gromit movie, Vengeance Most Foul, which was on the telly over Christmas, and we come back and talk about that instead, because regular listeners will know that Wallace and Gromit is a thing that we've referenced on many occasions. So yeah, this was very exciting for us to do a benefit of foresight episode. We can call it a special episode, first one for 2025, and if people don't like it, it's fine.
Okay.
So we went away and we watched it. Just from memory, I think I gave it a score of 7. And what did you give it?
I originally gave it a 10, but that was going to be a boring score, so I changed it to a 9 instead. I also didn't watch it.
Oh, right. What would you do then?
No, I'm joking. Of course I've seen it more than once.
I know. Me too. Me too. I watched it very recently for the purposes of this podcast. Okay, so we gave it 16 total out of a possible 20. 9 from you, 7 from me. I'm not going to ask you if your score's changed, because I think that would ruin some of the impact. But what I do want to ask you is, as what I still think of as a lifelong Wallace and Gromit fan, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I want you to sum up the anticipation of sitting down and watching the movie when it started.
Nerves, because nervous mixed with excitement. I expect. I was all suited up. Christmas Day, I threw on a suit, threw on a Wallace and Gromit tie, got my cheese and crackers ready before it. Which was a difficult choice actually, because you know when you're nervous and excited, you can't eat anything. It's like I really want to eat it, but also you have to time the eating of it right. So correct. I made sure that I was eating Wensleydale cheese during the perfect intro music.
Did you have the Wensleydale cheese in the shape of Wallace and Gromit?
Of course I did. What else would I have?
me too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good. Glad we got that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I was mostly excited. Well, how are you?
I was quite excited. I was nervous because, as I said in the previous episode, there's always a danger when you've been anticipating something that you're a fan of that's returned after many years, that it's going to be a crushing disappointment. I mean, from my point of view, I'll strike out straight and say it wasn't a crushing disappointment. Not at all.
No, not at all.
So tell me a little bit then about what you thought of Ben Whitehead as Wallace, because that's another thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think I've seen many a thing with Ben Whitehead as Wallace in the past, but it's never been anything as big as an actual film that he's done as Wallace. So I was a bit hesitant at first. And I think that the issue that I was worried about was I can probably get involved and watch the film and there'll be a different voice and that'll distract me from it. But I think it was one of those things where watching it and feeling the emotion of it and things like that, you could tell it was Wallace and Gromit. There was nothing different about it. I think if, let's say, for instance, they took the flushed away route and they had to do it that way and it was all animated, you could tell, and it wouldn't feel the same. But because it had that same love and attention and care put into it, I didn't notice the voice. I mean, there was a couple of occasions where I did, but it wasn't like, that's bad, I don't like that, this is just Wallace now. And the way he portrays that character is, it's still Wallace. He's not doing it he's doing it differently. I don't want to give him a flack for not doing it in his own way, but what I'm saying is he did it in his own way and he made it work, and it's still the same character and it works perfectly in my opinion.
I didn't see the joy, and I think there was one line, and I don't remember what it was, but I did think during that one line there was just something slightly off. But the fact that I can't remember what the line was, and I didn't find it particularly jarring. I actually think that what was interesting is I thought they'd have Wallace speak less in the movie.
Right.
Just it would be easier just to have the character just say a few less things, but they didn't. Yeah. If anything, he spoke more in this movie than any of the others.
Yeah, I'm glad they took that approach actually, because it would have been. I think it would have been more obvious the absence of his presence, so to speak, just because of that reason. So I'm glad that they did give him a role anyway.
And at no point was there any, of course there wouldn't be, but it wasn't disrespectful in any way to Peter Sallis. It wasn't an impression of Peter Sallis. It was just, I can do this. This is my take on it. And it was good. I thought it was great. I think you'd struggle if you weren't a complete Wallace and Gromit nerd, and I'm not saying that you are.
I'm about to say something nerdy there.
But if you weren't, I don't think you would see the join, would you? You wouldn't know any different.
No, not at all. So when we recorded the last episode of the podcast and gave our thoughts about what we were going to watch, at that point in time, I hadn't finished watching the original ones or the older ones. Until after we'd recorded. And I discovered something really interesting in the credits for A Matter of Loaf and Death. And that was, there was a stand-in voice, which I'm assuming is just Peter Sallis wasn't well enough to be there. And the stand-in voice was Ben Whitehead. We already know he's been around for a while doing other things and video games and whatnot. But I just thought it was interesting that since Matter of Loaf and Death, he was around and he was there filling the role. And I think a thing that really worked for me going into it was knowing that Nick Park was still at the helm of it all in any sort of way, and he wouldn't put some random dude in who can almost do a Wallace voice. He knew what he was doing, and he knew the guy, so I kind of trusted it in that way. Not to annoy my uncle, but it's not like the new Kermit voice. That's just really obvious. It's different.
Yeah. If you're listening, Uncle K, imagine that being your party piece. It's like Andy Serkis. Wherever he is, he can stop a room by doing Gollum.
True, yeah.
Right? So imagine, Ben Whitehead, and it is Ben, but he can walk into any room and be Wallace.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Imagine that being your party piece. I liked it. I was struck by one thing about Wallace in this movie. Maybe you can help me with this.
Okay.
And that was, he was just on the edge at the beginning of the movie of being unnecessarily mean to Gromit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, is this a thing that I've missed before? Gromit is the long-suffering pal, the dog and everything else. But it just felt, has he gone a bit far this time? Did you see that, or am I just being really silly?
I think I saw that, and a lot of people did see it too. A lot of people have taken it too far, I think, and been like, oh, Wallace is a terrible owner, he's a bit of a bully and whatnot. And I just think, oh no, it's the point of the story. And yeah. I think maybe to be slightly different from previous iterations is a little bit harsher, but that's because of the story. If you didn't have that in the story, it just wouldn't make any sense, and you wouldn't see the impact and the redemption towards the end. So I think it's necessary as a storytelling point. It might be a little bit harsh because it's not what we're expecting, but that's the point of it. It's the enjoyment. You're not expecting it to be like that, so I think it works.
And I think we're also, dare I say, a bit more sensitive to that kind of thing than Wallace and Gromit. I think we referenced is 35, 36 years old since the first one came out. That is a whole different lifetime, right? It's a whole different mindset. I tell you what I did do is I tried to avoid any social media about it.
Yeah, that's a point that I want to bring up a bit later on, actually.
Okay, we can come back to that point. And I don't know if it's the same point, but I tried to avoid it because I just wanted to enjoy it. I tried to avoid it before. I tried to enjoy it afterwards. Wanted to just enjoy it for what it was. I was reminded, I just talked about unnecessary deaths, and I was reminded of one unnecessary Wallace and Gromit death.
Okay.
Do you know, I think it's in A Matter of Loaf and Death. The lady's on a balloon.
Yeah.
The lady's on a balloon. Yeah. And she drifts down into the crocodile thing. And then the balloon just floats up without her.
Yeah.
Death by balloon crocodile.
Yeah. I
don't think it's undeserved. I just think it's dramatic. Yeah. Let's call it that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Supporting character, supporting cast. Quite a small supporting cast, I thought. If you compare it to, say, the Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which had this kind of grand cast, quite a small cast. But what did you make of those people?
I quite liked it. Yeah, I think what worked with that as well is the sort of puns and the jokes with that. I think a lot of American audience might have been alienated, especially by Ant and Dec. But I quite liked
that's
that.
That's a good joke, yeah.
I like that they not only had a purpose, but they were a joke, like Mr. Convenience. That was quite clever. And I think even bringing back some classic characters from Curse of the Were-Rabbit, so like Chief Inspector McIntosh and a few other sort of extras that were here and there. So I quite like that touch.
Did I see a little cameo from the farmer in Shaun the Sheep as well?
You did, yes.
I thought so. And he said exactly the same thing he's always said in Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah, he was in it a couple of other times as well. Apparently he's at the, when they unveil the Blue Diamond for the second time, he's there.
Oh, okay.
And I think... I haven't seen this one, but rumour has it he's one of the townsfolk that's at Wallace's door. Okay. Again, haven't seen it, so I can't confirm, but I can confirm the other one.
I think it's probably only got a sort of voice cast of about five or six people, isn't it? There's Peter Kay, there's Lenny Henry, I mean, I can't name them all, but there's probably only about five or six people that have like got a speaking part. Norbert, obviously. I was going to ask about Norbert the robot. What did you make of Norbert the robot as the, or the robots rather, as... I don't know, the plot device. What did you make of that?
Well, as a plot device, definitely interesting. And I appreciated why it was there. As a character, this one's kind of interesting because watching the sort of little BBC idents in the trailers, didn't really like him. And I thought, you kind of get the impression that he's not supposed to like him in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into it going, I'm not too keen on this. But now I'm a big fan and I think it really worked. I just remembered I had a prop.
We can pretend you've got it.
Okay.
Nobody will ever know.
That's not fun. Can I reach it from here? Better. Appreciate my background while I'm gone.
Background. I'll describe the background. It is an original concept drawing of Wallace and Gromit. It's quite different. Gromit's got teeth and Wallace has got a moustache. And they're on the moon in a rocket.
I have a little Easter egg about that too.
We'll come back to that.
Look, I got the little Norbert.
You have a Norbert. Awesome. For those of you who can't see the podcast, Sam is now showing me his Norbert.
What?
I beg your pardon, Vicar.
What?
No, it's not that kind of podcast.
Anyway.
Moving on. Yeah, I've watched it a couple of times, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
And the first time I watched it, I found him mildly irritating. Which is a bit worrying because he's now staring down the camera. But I found him mildly irritating, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I watched it. Then I watched it a second time, and I wasn't bothered by him. And then I confess I've watched it quite recently for this, so I've watched it a third time, and I thought he's no more or less irritating than the rabbit in Curse of the Were-Rabbit, whose name escapes
Hutch.
Me, Hutch. So he's no more or less irritating than Hutch. So I take it back. I thought he was irritating. But I actually didn't think that he was, eventually.
One of my favourite Norbot moments is when he makes the bush say the end and then does a little pointless dance.
Yeah, I tell you what I did like about Norbert. One of the things I really liked about the animation was when he turns evil and he turns around and his legs don't move, just his body does.
Yeah.
That was great. Turning around, I thought that was very good. And Feathers McGraw, did we enjoy his role in the movie?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was always expected to be quite big and quite good, and I think it delivered on that. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I actually thought it, talking about this is a real person. It's a Plasticine Penguin. I thought it was great. Everything that I wanted from Feathers McGraw was there, and there's some great jokes in there. I can't remember exactly. I don't want to quote them because I can't. But when the first time Wallace sees him, and he said, "Oh, it's a chicken." It's just a really good joke. There's lots of things. There was things with the handcuffs when he's got handcuffs over his flippers, turning around on the chair with a white seal like the cat from a James Bond movie. But my favorite bit is just when he blinks his eyes. It's brilliant. It's like they're timed to perfection. The blinks.
Mm-hmm.
There's I don't know whether it's done on purpose. I'm sure it is, But yeah, Time to Perfection, little feathers, blinks. We always have referenced in jokes in Aardman things, kind of little Easter egg things. I'm sure you've got loads. So talk us through some of your favourite Easter eggs.
Well, one of my favourite ones, which is why I chose the aforementioned background, is that one of the, I think it's either a missing dog or a found dog poster, is the original design for Gromit. And I thought that was quite cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. And is that in that, and that's in where, that's on the police thing, yeah?
Yeah, the police crime board or whatever they call it, yeah. And I haven't actually seen anyone really talk about that. So I thought it was quite interesting that no one had noticed, but I saw it straight away. I mean, a lot of people probably did notice it. It's just no one's talked about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There were quite a few other people on there, wasn't there? There was one about Mrs. Tweedy. I saw that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I saw at the end was, I'm sure, and this is not really an Easter egg and it's not related to what you're saying, but at the end when they go into the poster, you can see all these different disguises of, I thought that was very funny as well. I like the fact that one of them was a bowling pin. just everything about it made me laugh. And little jokes like that were good. There was, and obviously you got the book jokes.
Yeah, classics.
Mm-hmm. Paradise Lost by John Stilton. Yeah. That was a good one.
One of my favourite sort of inside joke Easter egg things that I think worked so well is the little capture that Feathers has to do, and it's, is the moon made of cheese? Like, as a selection, I think that was genius. Also, on that topic, I guessed Wallace's password, like pretty much straight away. It's a good joke. I could hack Wallace.
Are you ultimately an evil penguin?
You figured me out.
Yeah. Are you Feathers McGraw in disguise?
Yes.
I've never seen you in the same room together.
There's a reason for that.
Dun, dun, dun.
To be continued. What?
There's one that I didn't notice, and I wonder if you did notice. Okay. I only know about it because I read about it, but there is apparently a very small tribute to Peter Salas in the movie.
Yes, I did see that. Is it going to be the same one? It's the flat cap and the raincoat. Yeah, from Last of the Summer Wine. That was his character. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I didn't. I saw it the second or third time I watched it, but I didn't see it the first time. It's one of those things that you kind of see when you get there. Lots of little things like that. And of course, the one that everybody's going to talk about is the Yorkshire and Lancashire signs.
Yeah.
Which was Yorkshire border, keep out. Lancashire border, no, you keep out.
That's definitely one that I think I glanced at the first time around, but needed to watch it again just to fully see what it said.
Because
it's a very intense scene, yeah.
I always thought it was interesting, though, that, like, it's not interesting. But Wallace and Gromit clearly in Yorkshire because of the whole Wensleydale connection.
Yeah.
But I think Peter Kay, who plays the police officer, does it in a Lancashire accent.
Right. I'd never really noticed.
So that's because Peter Kay is definitely from Lancashire. He's definitely from either Manchester or that, or the other side of that canal. There were clear references to Mission Impossible. And that's something that I didn't have to read. I definitely noticed that. Some of the set pieces were every bit as ridiculous as they have been, but somehow better when Gromit is doing them.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the dramatic leap from boat to boat in the dark tunnel, that worked perfectly.
Well, therein lies the genius of Aardman, is you can do anything, right? You can do absolutely anything, but you've selected to do a chase on canal boats, which are famously slow. There's even that bit where that joke where you've got to cut away from it and they're just moving really slowly. Really, really.
The dog walking past. Yeah,
dog and the lady and the dog walking past. And then it's even a joke, I think, in the film, because Norbert, who's gone horizontal on the back of the boat, laughs and just stands up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Ant and Dec, which I thought was a good joke. And if you're
absolutely,
if you're not a listener from the UK, Ant and Dec have been presenting programs on the BBC for years. But I quite like I liked On Your Doorstep as well.
That was a good. I feel like a lot of people saw the Ant and Dec one and just dwelt on that for a bit and missed the On Your Doorstep.
Uh-huh.
But I did appreciate both of them as well, yeah. I think, for me, as soon as I heard Ant and Dec, I thought, oh, it's just going to be a cameo, and then it wasn't, and I thought that was brilliant. And I'm like, did the real Ant and Dec actually know that that happened? Because I'd love to see their reaction to the joke.
I'd like to see that, yeah. I wonder if the, I wonder if that's something you have to ask for permission.
Yeah, true.
Or whether it's a thing that you do because you know that whatever you do, they're just going to love it.
That would be sad, though. Imagine getting an email from Aardman being like, oh, we want to use a character with similarities to your name, but we don't want you to do the voice. Mm-hmm. I'd be a bit disappointed.
I've developed a Wallace and Gromit Vengeance Most Fell quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to hear the quiz? Okay. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 11 Norbert settings.
Yes. Okay.
How many of them can you name?
Are we talking about the settings as in the good and the evil?
Yeah,
bit?
There are.
Okay, there's two.
No, there are 11.
No, I meant there's two as in there's two answers to the 11.
Yeah, okay, it's two, so 9 to go.
Oh, do you know what it is? I don't remember. I'm thinking of a different version of the Norbert thing that I noticed. Oh, can I have a hint?
I'll just tell you what they are.
Because
they're difficult, but I'll just go through them all, if you don't mind. And I hope the listeners will do this, will allow me to do this, because it's...
Sorry.
Because it's genius. They are good, pleasant, unassuming, dull, boorish, mildly annoying, bit selfish, grumpy, mean-spirited, really nasty, evil.
Nice.
There you go. Just wanted to mention that. And you only got two. There you go.
Yeah. I was thinking of something else, and I'll see if I can pull it up, because there was another really funny Easter egg with those. So the sentence that I was thinking of is there's performance setup controls in like a blink and you'll miss it.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of start out normal that you'd expect. So it's like sound, brightness, chips, but there's different settings to those. So you've got sound, jaunty, brightness, too clever by a half, I think. Chips with everything, storage, understairs, date, time, vaguely in past, output, input, shake it all about, put. I thought was genius. I thought that's what you meant. Yeah.
Oh, right. No, but that's better. So that's much better. There was I saw a thing on the internet where somebody had watched it and said something like, and I was going to do it in a silly voice, but I'm not going to, because it was one of those things that people say. They said, Wallace, the computer in the zoo is clearly Windows 98. How is there a capture available?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what I think about people who say things like that.
Is this the perfect time for my not rant?
I think we should go for a new segment. Welcome to a new segment. We're going to call this Sam's Not Rant Rant.
I have a very strong opinion about this, and I don't want it to come across as a rant, but I think it might. But the reason why I say it might not be is because I feel like I say I'm going to rant a lot, and it's just not a rant. I'll get to the point. I think what's ruined it this time around for me is the modernization with social media. I hope you agree with this, and I hope there's someone else that agrees. But ever since it's come out, people have had... not the wrong opinion. I'm not going to say there's a right and a wrong opinion, because that just wouldn't be fair. But they're saying things that are just downright stupid. And I think it's because of the modern age and you can say stupid things. So for instance, and I don't want to name any names, people that I know really dwell on the farmer being a cameo. And it's great for a couple of seconds and I enjoyed it, and we've discussed it already, so it's not anything against that. But there's more to it than just that one exact moment. So talk about something else that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then people just going on about... another thing was Wallace is too harsh to Gromit. Get over it. Stop complaining about it. There's people who are saying, I'd take Gromit if Wallace doesn't want him. That's not the point. And there was another... I saw a thing that said, in defense of Wallace, they're trying to say... what they said was, Wallace isn't as stupid as people are saying. And I think if people are saying that, they're getting the wrong impression out of it. Whatever happened to just sitting and enjoying something for what it is instead of picking it apart for the stupidest little reasons? I don't know if it's a direct quote. People were saying about how Feathers is back and he's the biggest evil that's ever been on screen and it was great for him to be there and he's bigger than Thanos and that kind of thing. And Nick Park himself, which I don't, again, know is a direct quote, he said, they think he's evil, but he's only a 4-inch tall piece of plasticine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right, it is. And I totally get that it is this evil villain who's come back. But they're making it out like he's Hitler and a real figure. And it's just a bit of plasticine. Just enjoy it for what it is. And it makes me so sad that people just take over the fun of it with their strong opinions, and you have to have that opinion or else you're just wrong. Which, again, sounds a bit counterintuitive, but you get my point.
I do.
That's my rant.
I do get your point. I mean, people will be doing podcasts about this movie and everything.
Have I just made an entire ironic conversation?
No, I don't think...
I might cut the whole thing.
I don't think you have, because in the context of our podcast, if people get this far, then ours is kind of a reverent approach to a thing that we knew we were going to love. There's no point for you and I to talk about this movie in the context of our podcast, except that we're going to love it. And you're right about the plasticine thing. As you know, I call it the Empire State Building kiss. If at the end of Hong Kong you're worried that they're going to be freezing cold, King Kong. I always call it Hong Kong. If you're at the end of King Kong, you're worried about how cold they're going to be on top of the Empire State Building, you have missed the point of the movie. And I feel the same way about this. It's a perfectly good piece of entertainment. It's animation. If you're, I'm going to make one counter argument against everything that you've just said.
Okay.
It just occurs to me,
that's allowed.
And it's not because we're disagreeing with each other, because I agree with everything that you said. But as somebody who appreciates Wallace and Gromit, but at the same time recognizes that they are just pieces of plasticine animated over, I think it said 15 months or something to animate it all, you must have a little heartwarming moment that people don't see them as animated plasticine. They see them as real characters. Gromit's not even a real dog. Gromit can open doors. Gromit can make cups of tea. Gromit can drive a car. Gromit knows how to drive a motorcycle. He knows how to build a radar tower. Yeah. He's not even a real dog. And so I agree with you completely. I avoided social media for that reason. And the reason I avoided it was because I just knew people were going to rip it to pieces. And it's an hour and 20 minute family movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Over which we are deeply affectionate. But I know exactly what you mean.
I think when it's something that you treasure so dearly and suddenly people are starting to make ridiculous points, you just take it to heart, I guess. Yeah.
It's like when something pops up on a social media feed and it's a Freddie Mercury Queen thing. And there was one that came up today that said Freddie Mercury is the GOAT, which I assume means greatest of all time in this context. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'll flick through some of the comments because, you know, confirmation bias is everything. And they're like, there's loads of people saying, no, he was rubbish, massively overrated, don't like him, never liked him. And I just thought, why would you go on the internet to say that?
Yeah.
It's okay to go on it and say, this is the thing that I really like and I want to share with you. And then and then to go on the internet and say, no, I disagree with you, it's rubbish. It's like, that's for me why I avoided it. I didn't want to see all this stuff because let's celebrate the thing because it exists, not go on and then be really critical of it.
Yeah, I will say in like a multitude of all of these things and reviews, I've only seen like a couple of negative ones. I've seen a lot of people praising it. So there is that.
I don't think I've seen a negative review. I've seen reviews that were, I wouldn't call them bad reviews. One of the reviews was from The Guardian, and it said he made the point that it's suffered a little because of an extended runtime. And then he said it was less densely packed with jokes than we've become used to, and it's also a bit talky. But everybody else, I mean, I know that on across all of these things, it's got, huge ratings and, you know, universal acclaim. And it's already been nominated for many awards. I mean, just
I saw that
loads.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point of it being, you know, I mean, it's nominated, I think, for all of the Annie Awards. And it was nominated for a Golden Globe recently, which it didn't actually win. But I'm going to say that it's nominated already for about 30 or even 40 awards. I'll be staggered if it's not nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know that it'll win this time around, but I think it'll get a nomination. How does it, in your view, let's get to the kind of end of this chat and move on. How in your view, where does it stand in the canon of Wallace and Gromit movies? Does it fit? Is it good? Is it in its rightful place? Is it better or worse than some of the others? Where does it stand overall?
I'll answer that, but I think we'll follow up with our rankings. So if you get thinking while I'm talking, because I've made mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it fits perfectly. That's another thing as well, actually, that a lot of people are starting to talk about now, is in universe, what's the timeline of Wallace and Gromit? And I think they're overthinking it. I think they've been tret to so many Marvel films of this is where this takes place, that they're just overthinking the whole thing.
Absolutely.
That bothers me too. I've thought about it too, but not in that extent. Anyway, I think it fits perfectly within that universe of this is a guy who invents things and he's created a problem and he needs to create a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a villain and it's got that entire storyline. And I think it works beautifully within those. It didn't feel like a random extra piece, like one of them, in my opinion. And it just felt right. It felt within that world. You could feel its presence. It was perfect for me in that sense, yeah. I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, again, if you're going to get bogged down in timelines in the Wallace and Gromit universe, you've missed the point completely. There is no timeline in the one. It's like the Simpsons. No. It's like the Simpsons. Bart Simpson's been 9 years old for 40 years.
Yeah.
It's fine. That's just how that works, right? So I thought it fit in perfectly. I'm excited by the fact that Nick Park has confirmed there will be more Wallace and Gromit. And they just ask for our patience because they take a long time to make.
I'll wait.
I'm glad because it would be really easy, like they'd be flushed away, to do a computer animated version of the animation. And I should just say, and I was going to ask you about this and I forgot, but I'll say it now. I thought the animation was classic Wallace and Gromit, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they just haven't cheated at any point.
Yeah.
Or at least that I could see.
I think the only thing that I noticed, which is a good thing, is the advancement in how they're doing it, which I'm glad for. Yeah, that's definitely necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go. Do you want to do the ranking of where we would put Wallace and Gromit movies? Do you want to go first or second?
I'm happy to go first. Just a couple of rules. I'm not including Curse of the Were-Rabbit because it's a feature film, like a full-length thing.
Okay, so we're just...
You've already done that.
No. I can easily miss it out.
I know a lot of people have included Kraken Contraptions within their rankings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. I have seen them. Of course, I have seen them. But I'm just sticking to the five sort of aired on TV features.
Got it. Okay, so in fifth place, you have...
A Matter of Loaf and Death, and I'll Die on This Hill.
Okay. Fourth place.
The Wrong Trousers. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but yeah.
Okay. Third place.
Vengeance Most Foul. Okay. Those two, I feel like, could flip easily. They're kind of equal with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second place.
A Grand Day Out, but only because I felt guilty for not putting it higher.
And
it changes a lot.
And first place then must go to
A Close Shave, my all-time favorite.
Wow. Would you like to hear mine?
Absolutely.
It's not the same.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna go in fifth place.
Okay.
With A Matter of Loaf and Death. So I think we do agree on
good.
That.
Good. Yeah.
Fourth place, A Grand Day Out.
Okay.
I love A Grand Day Out.
Fair enough, yeah.
I love it. I like it.
That's kind of where mine was sitting originally, but I felt bad because it's the original.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna make a reference again that you can stick me a pencil in my eye for doing it. It's like the first ever Queen album. It's good.
Right.
Uh-huh. But it's not the finished article that it later become. So I would never put that in sort of top five Queen albums. So four was A Grand Day Out. My third is Vengeance Most Foul. same as yours.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. My second is a close shave.
Okay.
And my number one is the wrong trousers.
Wow, right.
Cool. I think Wallace, I think the wrong trousers, I'm sure for the same reason you're going to say anything about a close shave is classic Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Everything. And of course, mm-hmm. it's got the first introduction of the penguin
feathers.
I can't remember his name. Had a blank.
I was trying to think of who you're talking about and then I remembered. Yeah.
Can I also just add at the end of that conversation for all the people that were dissing Wallace and the movie and everything else, in the context of Wallace and Gromit, it is always about an experiment or an invention that goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's just the theme of Wallace and Gromit. And in this occasion, it was evil gnomes, genius.
Genius. Mm. The interesting thing that I've discovered about myself when it comes to people's rankings, I have this thing with Mission Impossible, where if someone ranks all the Mission Impossible movies, I don't care about your opinion as long as Mission Impossible 2 is at the bottom of that list. And I've discovered it's the same with A Matter of Love and Death.
Yeah,
I've got no hate against it, really. It's just not my favourite at all.
No, it's like all of these things, isn't it? The worst Wallace and Gromit movie is still better than 99.9% of all movies.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I'll agree with that.
So should we go through? Should we score it then? Should we do that? I think we're done with the chat.
Mostly.
Oh, more chat.
No, I think we could be here forever.
Oh, good. Let's go to our score then. You gave it a 9 out of 10 on the basis that if you gave it a 10, that would be disingenuous. So where are we now?
I don't know. I'm tempted to leave it as a 9.
Interesting.
One of the things that I feel like we may have glossed over is the story. And I really do like the story. I think it's got a lot of good beats to it and a lot of good emotion. These are things I feel like I say all the time. But even down to the chase scene at the end, it just fit in perfectly.
Uh-huh.
I love the characters. I think the voice acting's great from everyone's part. And I love the care that they put into these characters. But no, I think I'm going to have to give it a 10 for this sort of watch anyway. I don't know if I'd give it a 10 compared to the other ones, but I think, because it's hard to say my memory score, my rewatch score, because that's not what this is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10, yeah. Why not?
I think I'm going to agree with you on everything you said, plot, voice cast, beats of the story, just the absolute genius that is Aardman. You know, if however critical you want to be of anything, if you are unable to invent in your own mind a canal barge chase, you are not entitled to have an opinion, in my view, which is ironic because all I'm given is my opinion and I couldn't do it. It's a 10. It's a 10 out of 10. Yeah. If you take it against the other Wallace and Gromit movies, probably not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
If you just do the original Wallace and Gromit, it probably is a 7. But it's a Wallace and Gromit movie. It did everything you wanted it to do. It's a 10.
I also really like the music. I'll give that a shout out too.
Yeah, music was great. Yeah. Everything they do with the music is great. Even down to, you could talk about this for ages, even the detail of the piece of Bach being played on the organ, which is just happens to be on the submarine that they've built. For no reason whatsoever. And how big is Wallace's basement?
I know.
It's magic.
Especially because he didn't know it could do that.
But of course it is, because the first time we see it, it's got a rocket in it. And for some reason, I never questioned it when it had a rocket in it.
No.
But I questioned it this time when it had a submarine in it. And that brilliant scene where they're all on scaffolding making stuff.
Yeah.
He treads on a rubber duck.
Yeah. That's just Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes sense. That's why you don't have to question it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't question it. Okay, so good. I'm glad we agree. 10 out of 10 from both of us for Wallace and Gromit. If you disagree, do feel free to email us. We'll ignore you because you'll ultimately be wrong. But but if you do agree, then definitely get in touch and agree with us wholeheartedly. So we have to choose a movie to watch. And we'll go back to our original premise, which is we'll choose a movie that we watch together at the movies, or at the cinema rather. And I guess it's probably my turn, right?
It is. Yeah, I chose the last one.
Okay. Well, I'm glad about that because I have chosen a movie. So I am going to go to something that we definitely watched.
Okay.
I'm not sure we enjoyed.
Uh-oh.
and I'm going to put it in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe category of a movie that I hope maybe I was wrong about. Okay?
Okay.
Because obviously I'm going to give away my memory. So this week we will be watching, and next week we will be discussing, the classic movie, The Golden Compass.
Oh, okay. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Or if you prefer, Northern Lights.
Yeah.
Because it was
called, I saw them the other day.
That's in my bucket list. I've still never done it.
I briefly saw them. It was an accident and it wasn't quite the full thing.
Still, even that. So yeah, we are gonna watch The Golden Compass. Classic movie based on the Philip Pullman novel, Northern Lights. So, do you want to go through your memory of watching that movie?
Yeah, unless you wanted to go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So my memory of watching, because I can be very, very quick about this. My memory about watching that movie is, I love the book. I read the book Northern Lights. Really liked it. I had some issues with the book, which we can talk about when we do the actual podcast. But I loved it. I thought it was a great book. And I was looking forward to the movie, which seemed to have a really solid cast and a lot of money lavished and spent on it. And it was a crushing disappointment. I just didn't like it. And it had lost all of the charm of the original. And so to cut to the chase, I'm going to give it 2 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
You?
I think, yeah, it's a weird one for me. Because I do remember seeing it. And I think it was one of those ones where it finishes and you're like, oh, was that it? But I do think I remember looking forward to watching it a second time. But it might be because of the polar bear fight. But from memory, I don't think it was very... It wasn't a big one for me. I don't remember much about it. So I think... I'm on the same line as you, and I think I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10.
Okay, yeah.
I kind of do want it to go up, but I have a feeling because it's one of those films that just doesn't continue as a franchise, that it might not.
I think it falls nicely into a lot of the movies that we've done, actually, and maybe we should have...
Yeah.
Maybe I should have chosen something else, but it falls into that category of there'd been the massive success of Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and people were looking for another franchise, and they put together this massive big budget movie with Daniel Craig, Ian McKellen, Nicole Kidman, and it just, my memory of it, I don't think I've actually seen it since the first time I watched it, after a long time. My memory of it was quite disappointing, so yeah. Okay, so that's it. Thanks very much for listening. Would you like to know what day it is today, Sam?
I would, yeah.
Okay, well, there's not much today, I have to tell you. But it is International Typing Day.
Oh, I've done a lot of that today.
So there you go. Typing Day is an annual event. It falls on the 8th of January, and it's organised by the Speed Typing Contest, and is held in every year on the 8th of January in Malaysia. It is Typing Day.
Wow. And now everyone knows that it's the 8th of January we're recording.
Shall I do that bit again?
No, it's fine. We have to keep that in.
Date stamp. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, I always say good evening, and I'm conscious of the fact that some people probably listen to this in the morning.
True.
But it's always evening somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. These nuggets and others can be found next week when we discuss The Golden Compass on our episode, which I'm very much looking forward to watching. So, all that remains is for me to say goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Bye-bye.
Do you know I do a really bad Wallace impression?
Can I hear it?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Cheese, Gromit.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
It's not very good either.
Okay.
You all right, Gromit? You got some cheese, mate? I didn't tell you. I knew it was very good.
That was uncanny. I thought he was in the room.
Do you want me to...
I got a good...
Go on.
Huh? We're going to make the same joke.
You bet we are.
Yeah, the Gromit impression.
That's exactly the joke. Should we do our Gromit
impression? Ready, listeners?
Should we do our Gromit impression at the same time to see if people can decide which one is the best?
Yeah.
One, two, three, go. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see, were the movies truly awful, or did they change history?
Shall I not just do some improv?
Yeah, do some Wallace and Gromit beat poetry.
Cheese. We really like cheese. I'd like more, please. Gromit, he's a guy. Wallet and groceries.
Geese. That's you can. You have to put that in somewhere.
Wallet and groceries.
No, your beat poetry.
Okay.